In the late 1980s, a few college friends in Buffalo, New York, created a game called Trash Can Frisbee, in which players toss a disc toward garbage cans and a partner slaps, slams, or deflects it into the garbage can for points. The sport was mostly played in backyards around Buffalo for years. Now it's known as Can Jam and has spread to tailgates and parties beyond Bison City. As Daniel Robison reports, the sport owes its success to gym class.
These are called dingers, when an airborne frisbee hits the side of a plastic can. It's worth 1 point. Can Jam matches are simple. Players toss a disc toward a knee-high can 50 feet away. Next to the can stands a teammate who tries to deflect the flying disc into the can for a dunk worth 3 points. Teams of two take turns until the winner reaches 21 points. For player Jack Whalen, teamwork is the key.
Sometimes he might throw a rock in and I just have to just touch it. And other times I just, why not slam it in? It's called Can Jam, not Can Touch.
Whalen and hundreds of other players square off at the 23rd annual Can Jam World Championship. They don homemade shirts with team names like Dorcas Malorcas and Spider Pigs. The games are highly competitive, so referee Scott Silverman must be ready for anything, especially since teams are trusted to officiate the games themselves.
I've seen fights break out at tournaments before over things called or not called, so the idea of having the referee here is just to make sure that we keep the peace.
Players are vying for the coveted Hammer Trophy. Winners' names are etched in its wooden handle. That includes Glenn Colton, who won the first world championship in the early 90s.
Oh, I got all choked up. No, it's just a nice memory.
Back then, Can Jam was known as a backyard party sport with a cult following. The game's come a long way, Colton says.
Well, back in the day, it was two garbage cans. And this Can Jam is a whole different level for two reasons. There's the instant win slot, and there's about 10 times as many teams competing as it was back in the day. Back then, to have 20 teams would be a full field. Today, what do we have, over 128 teams? It's just a sea of players.
Among them is Colton's new partner, his 12-year-old son, Adam. They have practiced together for months.
Like playing with Dead, and now we're partners for the championship.
Here, they eke out a 1-point win and move on to the next round.
Adam, we're officially 50%. That was a really good team, too. That could have went either way. We got very fortunate.
Adam Colton was first hooked on the game in his elementary school, and that's not by accident. Can Jam co-inventor Paul Swisher is also a teacher. Last decade, he convinced his school to allow the game in gym class.
Once you break that door, once the ice is broken, then it makes it easier to get into the next place.
Since the game requires hand-eye coordination, teamwork, and math to keep score, it meets curriculum standards of the American Alliance for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. Now, more than 2,500 schools in the U.S. offer Can Jam, and many students go on to become Swisher's customers.
And I'm currently, reaping the benefits of royalties from game sales.
In fact, more than 100,000 kits were sold last year. Since Can Jam requires such little physical activity, it can be played by almost anyone, says Swisher.
My dad is going to be 99 years old, and he's in an assisted living facility. They just had a little Can Jam tournament, and he won a gold medal for that.
Those aren't the only kind of gold medals on the minds of Can Jam organizers, who firmly believe the game will one day become an Olympic sport. Whether that happens or not, the company pledges the game will always be manufactured in Buffalo, merely blocks from where it was first played. For Only a Game, I'm Daniel Robison in Buffalo, New York.